Thursday Night Football with John Giles.
Johnny Giles is a national treasure. When he speaks, I mean, I'm like, yes, yes, yes. When he's on the show, I was in the car the other day. I parked the car and I sprinted into the house and turned on the radio. I love listening to him. I love Johnny Giles.
John Giles, every Thursday at 7:30 p.m. on OTB Sports Radio, live 24/7 on the Go Loud app. The OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
Kenny Cunningham is with us. Kenny, good morning to you.
Morning, lads.
As a noted goal-scoring fullback yourself, you must be proud to be...
Overrated. These goal-scoring fullbacks are overrated, yeah.
Should we bring up the statistic again? No outfield player in the history of the Premier League played more games without scoring a goal.
Nathan. Totally different era. I was forcing to get upfield. They wouldn't let me.
That's such a brilliant stat.
It's an interesting stat.
Good morning to you. It's a great move for him, right?
It is a great move for him. I'm actually delighted for him. But really, when you break it down, lads, it's not as if he's going from a club kind of, you know, scrambling at the bottom end of the Premiership to a club kind of challenging at the top. I mean, pretty much Wolves and Tottenham have been kind of dovetailing all season for those kind of Champions League stroke Europa places. So from a footballing perspective, you look at it and initially you think, lads, oh, great move. And it is a great move, don't get me wrong. And I've got a lot of respect for what Matt's doing, because he clearly wants to challenge himself again in a different environment. I think possibly the appeal of playing under Mourinho, different group of players, almost having to prove yourself again, just that type of challenge. I'm guessing, without knowing Matt too well, that's what's kind of driving the move. Because if you look at it on the flip side, if I look at the environment at Wolves, I mean, I'm a huge fan of Wolves' manager at Noon. I think he's as good as anybody around. I put him up there with Klopp and Guardiola in terms of his body of work over the past couple of years. I'm hugely impressed with him. I think he's a great manager and coach. So it can't be easy taking yourself out of that environment. I'm sure Matt will probably say he's probably grown and improved as a player under Nuno's tutelage. And that's a club which has continued to grow. You don't look at Wolves and think, well, that's it, they've peaked, they're on their way down now. Maybe Matt got a sense potentially the manager might be on his way in the next year or two. I'm not too sure. But from a footballing perspective, personally, I would have been in a rush to jump out of that type of environment, because I think it's a great environment. And I think one thing Nuno said last year, and it really kind of registered with me, it was a very simple thing. He was asked about Traore, who'd come into the club and really improved and under him and really grown and developed. And why he hadn't done it at previous clubs, he'd been moved on to Aston Villa, etc., and Middlesbrough, and people are thinking, oh, he's just one-trick pony. He's just, you know, he's bulling a china shop. This fella can't play football. And he said something very simple. He said, well, at this football club, he said, we don't give up on players, never. And it's, and that for me kind of really registered in terms, that gave me kind of a bit of a window into the mentality of the manager and his kind of people skills. So yeah, I think it's a great move for him. I think it's a great move for Tottenham, exactly what they wanted. But yeah, for the reasons that I've said, lad, I think when you actually analyse it, you think to yourself, well, hopefully it'll prove to be a good move in terms of Spurs will improve and get some more players in, because they're in a period of transition as well. And I wouldn't say Wolves are. For me, that's a very settled squad at Wolves, very impressive squad, great manager, and a club on the up. But I totally understand his motivation, Matt, if he felt he was, having spent that time at the football club, it was probably now or never, lads, for him. I think he's probably at his peak for the reasons that you've mentioned. And I can understand the temptation to go and prove yourself at a different club in a different environment. So good luck to him.
The concern from the outside, Kenny, is that when you watch Matt Doherty at Wolves, he's such a key figure in how they line up. And you see the same balls played to him all the time from the back three, over the top, over in that right wing position. He'll make a inward run on the inside of Adama Traore. They were so well coached that it seemed to suit Matt Doherty down to the ground, and it gave him that freedom to get forward. With Jose Mourinho, and now Stephen Kenny, I don't think we heard it there, countered this yesterday from what he'd seen with Spurs, and he felt that Serge Aurier almost played as a right winger, that the left back tucked in, but that Aurier played way up on the right-hand side, and he doesn't seem to share the concerns a lot of people have that Matt Doherty's going to be a right back, stuck inside his own half playing under Jose Mourinho. Do you think he'll have the same sort of freedom for Spurs that he had at Wolves to get up that right wing?
No, I think you're right. I think it's a fair point. Predominantly Spurs would play with that back three and Matt as the wing back. I don't think that'll happen too often at Spurs. Mourinho traditionally is stuck with that kind of 4-3-3 formation. So I think he will have to modify his game ever so slightly. You're right, those big switches of play, Conor Cody in particular was great at hitting those big diagonal balls over to Matt. He used to keep that high line. You're right, high up the pitch. He made those diagonal runs in behind opposition fullbacks into space. But the modern game is not as if we're talking about, you're slagging me about like no goals playing as a, when I used to play as a fullback. When I played as a fullback, we just, it was a totally different position, Nathan. You know, our start position was so much more deeper. You know, we just weren't committed into areas that high up the pitch. Even in an orthodox back four, now you see fullbacks take a higher starting position than you normally would have expected years ago. But you are right, I think there are certain differences playing in an orthodox four, even in a team where they encourage fullbacks to get forward. But I'm sure he's clever enough, he'll make those adjustments. He still have the freedom to go and get forward and be productive in the final third. You don't bring Matt Doherty into your football club and then put the reins on him in terms of, right, I want to see you pick and choose your moments to go forward and really concentrate on the defensive side of your game. His qualities are in the attacking thirds of the pitch. You know, his ability to combine with people, get into the box and kind of sniff out goals and create goals. So I think you're right. I think he would have to modify his game slightly because I think the not so much this, the style of play to a certain extent, but the formation will be different. But I'm sure he's bright enough now. Like I said, he's that age. He's smart. I think he'll understand what's required of him and he'll make those small adjustments to his game if he has to.
Kenny, a text in from John wondering, is Seamus Coleman going to look back in his career and regret not making a move to a bigger club than Everton?
No, that's a great point. I mean, I've mentioned this before. Like, I mean, two different people say circumstances are different, timings, everything in football, as we said. But I think you're probably right. It's a good point the lads made there. I think Seamus probably arrived at that moment in his career some years ago. And I remember saying Seamus was playing that level, probably similar to Matt. He was absolutely exceptional. Seamus could have played for any club in the world. He was playing that good. And there was talk of Manchester United, Chelsea, lads, you remember, around that kind of time. And he could have gone. There was no doubt about it. I mean, maybe he would have had to fight his way out of the football club. Maybe he wasn't that type of character. Maybe he was happy where he was. He was settled. You know, two different personalities, two different set of circumstances. But you're right, Seamus probably had that decision to make some years ago as well. And decided for whatever the reason to stay where he was. And he's been a great stalwart for Everton. He'll be an absolute legend there. I'm sure he feels he made the right decision. It was the one he was most comfortable with. But obviously, Matt's come to a different conclusion. He's felt the need, no, I want to go. I want to take a step outside. And I want to go and challenge myself somewhere else. So I don't think there's a right or wrong, lad. I think everybody's different and makes makes the decisions for different reasons.
Let's talk about this week. It's a huge, huge week from Stephen Kenny's perspective. It's the first opportunity to get in and actually show the players on the training pitch what you want them to do. And he's talked about the importance for him in the perception of Irish football being changed from, you know, pre-match, the manager of the opposition always goes, oh, Ireland, they're a stereotypical British side, you know. They'll be aggressive, they'll get the ball forward early. And he's like, I want people to change how they think about us. I want us to be successful, and the only way they're going to change how they think about us is if we start winning and qualifying for things. But I want people to start thinking about Irish football as something distinctive. From your perspective, when you hear that, what do you think?
No, I'm very encouraged by it. I love to hear it. And it kind of blends into what kind of Stephen's consistently been kind of saying about kind of Irish players, whether in the UK or in Ireland or wherever they are, just in terms of how, you know, we talk our players down too much. We don't talk them up in terms of the qualities which they have. And there's been a sense of that around for a number of years now, lads. Managers really talking down our players. I mean, I remember Trapattoni, like, talking about players, the standard they were at, you know, what to expect, you know, championship players, et cetera, et cetera. And I didn't like to hear it. If I was a player, I wouldn't like to hear that being talked down. So I think it's quite refreshing to hear Stephen extol the virtues, the football and qualities of our players. And I think he's right. I think we have real talent in the country, and even in terms from a technical point of view. And he's probably talking about a little bit in terms of psychology there, getting into the heads of the players and making them believe a little bit more in themselves. That, yeah, they have got that ferocious work ethic, which has been our kind of hallmark, and rightly so. But let's be honest, lads, a lot of the top nations have that anyway. It's not as if which is something which is, you know, totally reserved to ourselves. But I think we have got those individual qualities that Stephen has talked about. Maybe just has to convince the players a little bit more of that, give them a little bit of confidence. And that's what good management is all about, you know, getting into the players of the head, into the heads of the players, giving them confidence and giving them that kind of belief, and marrying those two things that we're talking about here. And if we can do that over a period of time, hopefully Stephen can get the very best out of the players. But he's right, ultimately at the end of the day, lads, it's about results. It's about a style of playing, a way of playing football that ultimately, you know, brings a level of success. You know, that's got to be spoken about as well.
Kenny, something that stood out with the 21s, and listen, I know it's under 21 level, was that with the wave 21s, the squad was always changing. Players were being called up to seniors. There were a lot of players missing. But the style actually never changed. There was always that willingness to get the ball down, regardless of who the 11 were. Senior international football is obviously very different then. And James McCarthy is a player he spoke about a huge amount over the past couple of weeks, has been integral, should be the best Irish midfielder of his generation, and wanted him in that middle of the midfield three, which we expect it'll be. It looks as though he's going to miss these games. Like, he spoke yesterday about Harry Arthur potentially stepping in. Is McCarthy a huge loss for what Kenny wants to do if he's talking about style of football? Or do you think actually there's other players who can do a similar job?
Well, I agree with Steve in relation to James. I've always been a huge fan of James. Received a lot of kind of criticism for even when he was struggling with injury and not in the squad, because I just very quickly assessed the qualities that James had. And when you want to play the type of football, the style of football maybe that we're talking about, Stephen's talking about, generally that central midfield area is always key. And that kind of deep line midfielder who's closest to the defensive line, who can interact with them, take the ball off them, and move the ball up the pitch for you to cut it through the lines, etc. And I always felt James could do that. And he's a very accomplished player for me, James. He's got a defensive mentality. You can trust him out of possession. He kind of senses danger. He makes his fair share of tackles. He kind of sees danger. And in possession, he's very efficient in his use of the football. Not too many 40, 50-yard diagonal passes, but he gets the ball, he passes it quickly, 1-2 touch, and he passes it forward. So that type of player, regardless of his name, that type of player in that central midfield area is always invaluable. So it's a shame he's not available. I didn't realise that, lads, because I was looking forward to seeing him play. Have we got another player of that ilk? You've mentioned Harry Arthur. I don't see Harry Arthur of that ilk, to be honest with you. I wasn't a big fan of Harry Arthur playing in a holding midfield position. I didn't think he had the defensive qualities. He's a tidy technical player. But I saw Harry Arthur as more of an offence-minded player, operating a little bit higher up the pitch. Of the players who are there, Jason Malumbi is the player for me, who potentially he could play that position, as inexperienced as he is. I mean, he's a great all-round player, Jason. He's got the engine to get box to box. He's a very dynamic player, but he's aggressive. He gets tight to people. He makes tackles. So it's asking a little bit much of him at the moment to play that kind of disciplined holding midfield position. But I think he has the qualities to do. And I think if he's looking for a player, I'd be leaning towards Jason Malumbi in that kind of holding midfield position of a three that you're talking about, rather than Harry Arthur. But it's how the manager sees it, of course.
It's the first week, you know. Do you try and fit them both in and hope that between the two of them, like, pick those three in midfield first, then, Kenny?
Well, if it's going to be a 4-3-3, which we're all thinking that might be the case. Well, I always go back to the French game. It's amazing, isn't it? I can't get it out of my head. The playoff game against France. How long is that ago, lads?
10 years.
10 years, lads. 10 years. Can you believe it?
Is it 11 years now?
Nearly.
But we lined up that day with James McCarthy in midfield three, that inverted triangle. James McCarthy at the base.
That's only 3 years ago, Kenny, or 4 years ago. Don't worry about that.
Oh, that one. Sorry.
That one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that wasn't a playoff. That was in the Euros.
Yeah, the last 16.
That was that three. For me, that was almost pair. I saw something that day with James McCarthy, Robbie Brady, and Jeff Henry that I thought, wow, this is the way forward. This dynamic, this trio midfield, this is the way forward for us now for the next, like, 6 years. It was that good. The balance was that good. James offering that kind of defensive solidity and kind of ability to get on the ball and move us up the pitch, and Jeff and Robbie operating in those kind of higher number eight positions, like technically good enough to get on the ball in the half turn, but having the legs to get forward combined with those front three players, it was fantastic. Although we lost that game, I was actually buzzing because I thought, wow, that was great. I love what I saw in that midfield area. So for me, like, I know James is not playing. So for me, I could easily throw Jason Malumbi. You're talking about midfield three: Jason Malumbi, Robbie Brady, and a Jeff Hendrick as a three. I think he's got options there. He could throw Hardy Arthur in. I think Callum O'Dowd is an interesting one in there, lads. Callum O'Dowd played a couple of minutes under Martin. Martin played him in midfield three in one of those advanced positions. And I saw something there in Callum O'Dowd, and I thought, wow, because he's so quick, lad. He's powerful in possession, like when he strides forward with the ball, he eats up the ground. And he showed me a little bit there. So I'm sure Stephen will be looking at all of this, all those little kind of permutations. But that midfield three for me, I'd love to see Jason Malumbi get a start, although I think he can play different midfield positions, not holding midfield positions. Just that real defensive solidity. We're all different, lads. When I look at holding midfield, first and foremost, yeah, he's got to be able to play and get on the ball in the modern game. We understand that. But for me, it's all about what's his defensive mindset. Can he defend out possession? Does he sense danger? Can he cut those passing lanes into opposition centre-forwards? You know what I mean? Can he make tackles? Can he track runners? You know what I mean? Just sense danger. That's just me. That's probably just, you know, that's what I look for in Nation. I think Jason Malumbi has that. I don't think Harry Arthur has. And that's the type of player I'd like to see in the whole midfield position if James isn't available to play.
Nathan, what's
he also seems to have a... Sorry, I was going to say Malumbi. He also seems to have a lot of personality, Kenny, which maybe with Hendrick and McCarthy is the one thing on the pitch that we have lacked from them. Okay, McCarthy has barely played, actually, since that game against France. Hasn't played for Ireland in nearly 4 years.
No.
But they're two quiet lads. Whereas Malumbi, given the captaincy of the 21s, in fact, he almost had too much personality at times. You think of the game against Italy. Kenny had to take him off with half an hour to go because he'd been booked and he was on the verge of being sent off. That actually having that young, strong voice who's going to be very vocal in the middle of midfield is another attribute for Malumbi that means even though he's quite inexperienced, they shouldn't be afraid of throwing him in there.
No, you're right. I mean, I worked with Jason a couple of years ago with the 19, so I got a bit of a flavour of that. You're right. I enjoyed working with him, and he has real kind of personality. You're absolutely, there's a bit of fire in his belly. He's got to learn to control that. Of course, he does, as you do, particularly in international football at the highest level. You have to kind of temper it, keep a cool head, and make kind of rational decisions in and out possession of the football. But I just like his whole makeup. He was at Brighton. He was being kind of groomed as a kind of holding midfielder, just kind of a deep line. We've been talking about it here, but very quickly you could see he had a lot more to his game. He had that energy to go box to box. He was very tenacious, lads, like you were talking about on the tackle. A bit forward, he had that to him as well. Picked up a number of bookings. But you're right, vocally you're right, Nathan, but wouldn't be the biggest thing for me. It's just his whole kind of personality and his all-round game, really. I think that type of midfielder we've been looking for some years. Glenn Whelan gave it to us to a certain degree, but it looks as if now Glenn's career is coming to an end. So just that kind of really kind of high energy player in that central area to pick and eat up the ground, who can kind of, you know, make tackles, you know, that type of player. I think we've been lacking. We've got those kind of technical players. I mean, Jeff, you could argue Jeff Hendrick, one or two others, Harry Arthur in possession of the football. But that really kind of tenacious box to box traditional type midfielder, really, I'd put Jason in that type of mould, able to actually operate in one or two different positions. And with his age, it's great. He's got his best years ahead of him, so hopefully he's going to be a big part of our future.
Nathan, how much does it matter that a lot of people haven't played football? As you've spoken about, it's 6 months really since we've seen Hendrick or Brady. Can they go straight into a game like this? Does the manager think that they can go straight into a game like this?
The manager certainly does. I brought this up with Stephen Kenny yesterday and we touched on it, that like Darren Randolph is second string keeper at West Ham at the moment, hasn't played, I don't think, since January. Jeff Hendrick, because of his move, hasn't played a competitive game since March. Matt Doherty hasn't played in 3 weeks, has been on holidays, is coming straight into this. Like Stephen Kenny made the point, things have changed. These players are always, always in good condition. So it doesn't sound as though that's going to be a factor in his team selection at all, that he feels anybody who's in, anybody who's training, he can pick. Certainly for this first match, maybe that changes slightly for the Finland game when they've had a full, tough, grueling 90 minutes in Bulgaria. For a lot of them, the first of the season, that he has to change things around. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see a little bit of rotation over these couple of games. Like, he has a lot of options, as Kenny touched on there. If it's Harry Arthur, Jeff Hendrick, Jason Malumbi in midfield, which maybe is sort of what he's looking at. Like, you can slot Robbie Brady in there, no problem. So I think, also, there's 8 games between now and November. The players are playing league matches every week. I think everybody's going to get a chance over the next 3 months.
Well, so I asked Kenny for his midfield three. Is that your midfield three that you think it's going to be Harry Arthur?
I think if McCarthy was fit, it would have been McCarthy, Hendrick and Malumbi or Howerton. But I think just I asked him about McCarthy. He spoke about Harry Arthur again, even before the squad was announced. He mentioned how well Harry Arthur was playing for Fulham. So he's certainly the player he's name checked most often. So going on what Kenny's saying, I would say most likely it is Arthur, Hendrick, Malumbi. And Hendrick is going to be a crucial player, you feel, for Stephen Kenny. Talks him up at every possible opportunity. But again, I wouldn't, what Kenny's saying with Malumbi, if he feels he's in that role, that'll be fine. And you can put Howard and Brady in there as well.
And what's the front three?
I think that's where there's the most debate. So on the right, he touched on Callum O'Dowd in the midfield position. O'Dowd is named as one of the forwards. Probably on the right, either O'Dowd or Robinson. I'd say Robinson is probably slightly ahead at the moment. On the left, either McLean or Connolly. Maybe Connolly slightly ahead at the moment. Again, I wouldn't be surprised if they change over the two games. And then, does he throw Adam Ida in here from the start? It's probably the big question. Troy Parrott's out injured. Or do you go with the experience of Shane Long? I think he's going to go with Ida. So maybe that, again, puts James McLean just have a bit more experience on there. But I wouldn't be surprised if it was a front three for this game. Because remember, Dave McGoldrick isn't available for Bulgaria. Maybe back for Sunday if it was a front three of Robinson, Ida and Connolly.
Wow, that's pretty young and exciting.
Yeah, I don't know what Kenny thinks, if that's a bit too risky.
Kenny, what do you think?
No, again, I think it's really exciting, the potential combinations he has high up the pitch. I mean, obviously, right, the central striker. I mean, I'd love to see Adam Ida again. Why not throw the young fella in and let him have a look at it? Nothing to lose. We know exactly what Shane Long brings to the team. I'd maybe look a little bit at the wide areas. I think it'll tell a tale in terms of how Stephen sees it. I mean, in terms of style of play you're talking, lads. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me really if he goes maybe the opposite of what Nathan is talking about and plays a potential right foot on the left-hand side and vice versa. So, let's say Callum Robinson, a right foot on the left-hand side, and say Aaron Connolly on the right coming inside. And the reason for that is if you want to encourage a wide man to come on the inside and fill those inside kind of pockets and leave space for your full-backs to get into those kind of wide areas and on the overlap. That's generally what you see in the modern game. You know, wingers coming on the inside, getting very narrow to the centre-forward so they can play little 1-2s kind of combinations. Not that traditional wide man, which James actually is, who plays wide left, likes to stay wide left, likes to see the whole pitch in his inside, likes to beat his man on the outside and get crosses in the box, which is great to see. But generally speaking, in the modern game, you see a lot of those wingers come on the inside 10, 15 yards off the touchline, and they ask the opposition fullback a question. You're going to follow me in? If you are, then that leaves the space for the fullback to get himself on the overlap, i.e. Enda Stevens and Matt Doherty. So if you want to play more of a passing game, play a little like 10, 15 yard passes, find people around the corner in spaces, little combinations, you probably go with those wingers on the opposite side, to be honest with you, if you understand what I'm saying. So again, that'd be an indication in terms of how Stephen sees it in terms of style of play, who he plays in those wide areas, you know, left-footed players on the left, right-footed players on the right, or the actual opposite.
OK, one last point here that we haven't actually brought up then. We started this conversation by talking about the big move that's just happened for the right full-back or right wing-back, and now we're saying he's going to be in the team and the Ireland captain is getting dropped at right-back, or are we finding some way to find our two best right-sided defensive players in the team or not, Kenny?
Well, you can't put them both in the team when you play a flat four. We found that out over in Gibraltar under Mick. The only way to get them both into the team is to revert to a back three and play a 3-5-2, because I still feel as if Seamus could be incorporated into the team right of a three. I'm a big fan of fullbacks playing at a back three, particularly international football. You don't have to deal too much with kind of continual crosses into the box. So if you're going to get both of those, if he's determined to get both of those players into the team, you've got to change the system to a 3-5-2. For me, play Gary Doherty right wing back, and play Seamus Coleman right of a three. And I actually think there is an argument for that. I think I'd actually love to see that. But if it's going to be an orthodox back four, a 4-3-3, I think Matt Doherty's going to play.
And a new captain?
Yeah, that would be the case. Obviously, Seamus wouldn't be available. So yeah, there would be a new captain. Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'd imagine John Egan would probably be the next in line for captaincy. And maybe part of this from Stephen Kenny, because he said it day one, was that Seamus Coleman would remain as captain, was that actually he knows the character of Seamus Coleman, wants him to feel that whether he's playing or not, he's still the leader of this squad. The other thing, actually, talking about James McCarthy and Darrell Shea being called into the squad because he wanted a bit of backup across the back four. is there a possibility, Kenny, that, again, James McCarthy is so important that he changes his system completely because of that, because he doesn't have that one player in the middle, and he does, having planned to go with a four at the back, because McCarthy isn't there, decides to go with three at the back and gets Coleman and Doherty in, and then you go with a midfield two, maybe Malumbi and Hendrick?
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. Nathan, certainly so, and you can even get the front three in, to be honest with you. I mean, back three doesn't mean 3-5-2. A lot of sides around Europe now playing with a kind of 3-4-3 formation.
Three, yeah.
So that front three that we're talking about, you can still play that with a back three as well, which are wing backs. So you can slightly tinker. A back three doesn't traditionally used to mean 3-5-2 centre forwards of the pitch. Not in the modern game it does. You can still play more of a 3-4-3, and clubs are having a lot of success playing with that as well. So I think you're right. I think that is an option, but just have a feeling Stephen might just, my gut feeling tells me he's just got a, in terms of formation, he's kind of not rigid, but I think he's got a clear picture in terms of how he wants to play in that 4-3-3. And I feel as if, even if maybe James McCarthy isn't available, we can't put everything on James' shoulders. If James isn't fit, we've got to change the whole structure, the whole system. They'd be working on these patterns of play and training day to day in terms of this 4-3-3. You can't suddenly just throw it out the window if one day James McCarthy turns up and he's got an injury.
Yeah.
So my gut feeling tells me, even if James isn't fit, he'll still stick to this 4-3-3 formation. If that's his preferred system, and kind of individual personnel not being available won't affect that too much.
That's what the League of Ireland watchers who've followed his career closely are all convinced that that's definitely going to be the case as well. One last question for you, Kenny. Man United being heavily linked with Donny van de Beek, 40 million-ish. Have you seen enough of him to have an opinion on whether or not this is a good idea yet?
Yeah, I like him. I'm a big fan of him. Goal scoring, attacking midfield player. Really, I'd see him as a number eight, which kind of suits Man United. They're pretty much shaped up that way, 4-3-3, with those two advanced midfielders. But the problem is, United players in those positions at the moment are really Pogba and Fernandes. I don't see Van Beek operating off the side. He's really a central midfield, attacking midfield player who can score goals. So the only reason, when I hear something like that, lads, being leaked, that he's coming for that type of money, then I begin to question maybe Paul Pogba's future at the football club. Maybe if there's a bit of concern that Pogba's not going to be there, he's not going to sign that new contract. Because if he doesn't, then they do have to go and spend again on that type of player, whether it's a Van Beek or a Jack Grealish, or that type of player. So, yeah, I'm a big fan of him. I think he's worth the money. I think he ticks a lot of boxes in terms of his qualities, which I've spoken about briefly, but age profile as well and things like that. So, yeah, but I think it's an interesting one because for me it just, pours kind of oil on the forward in terms of Paul Pogba's future if they've been linked to that type of player with the qualities that he has.
Yeah, he's actually cheaper and younger than Jack Grealish, so what's not to like? Kenny, good stuff. Enjoy the week. Thanks a million.
Nice one, lads. Take care. Bye-bye.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.